I am Dr. Louise Lisi, and I have no conflict of interest disclosures to make. I am a general pediatrician with the Philadelphia Department of Public Health. The department has 8 healthcare centers that provide comprehensive primary care to Philadelphia residents without regard to income or insurance status. Anemia is a common and serious disease, particularly among adolescent females. The American Academy of Pediatrics recently changed its recommendations for anemia screening in adolescent females to be based on an annual risk assessment, which means you have to determine by history whether you should do a hemoglobin screen or not. I am a member of the Pediatric and Adolescent Quality Care Committee for these 8 health centers. Over a year ago, we were having a discussion about well-child standards, and the discussion came up about anemia screening, with some people really in favor of an annual hemoglobin screen, and some people said, well, we don't really know what's going on. And we had to ask the question about whether the American Academy pediatric standard was reasonable for our population. So basically, we decided that we could look at the rates in our own population. And there are very few studies that have assessed incidence in different populations. The policy has been to do annual anemia screening for adolescent female patients. Does the incidence of anemia support the expense of doing repeated hemoglobin screens? We need to know how many teenagers are anemic. So our research questions included, what is the prevalence of anemia among adolescent girls in the Philadelphia healthcare centers? What is the incidence of anemia in this population? What are the predictors of these new incident cases of anemia? Eligible patients were identified from the electronic information system, and all eligible patients were selected for review. And eligible patients were female, had a well-child exam during 2006, had a CBC ordered during 2006, and had had a previous complete blood cell count ordered prior to 2006. So we were asking for at least 2 sets of hemoglobins. And the girls had to be age 14 to 17 at their last visit during 2006. We chose a cutoff for anemia of less than 11.5 grams of hemoglobin because data consistently show hemoglobin levels approximately 0.5 grams per deciliter lower in African Americans than the national average. Associations with baseline hemoglobin and the predictors of incident anemia were tested using chi-square test for categorical variables and t-test for continuous variables. This study was classified as exempt from the IRB. There were 1,779 females who had a well-child visit in the prescribed time period. 1,006 had a CBC ordered. 400 had a previous CBC prior to the 2006. The study population after the above exclusions was 314 adolescent girls. They were mostly African American, with a few girls of other ethnicities. anemia prevalence based on the CBC closest after the 12th birthday was 42 girls who were anemic out of the 314, and this gave a 13% prevalence. And most of the anemia was mild with a few significant anemias. In addition to knowing how many girls were anemic in early adolescence, the Pediatric and Adolescent Quality Care Committee was very interested in knowing how many adolescent girls became anemic over time. Of the 272 patients who were free of anemia at baseline, 32, that is 12%, became anemic during an average of 3.6 years of follow-up. The annualized incidence rate was 3.29 per 100 person years. In this uniformly low-income patient population, race, ethnicity was not significantly associated with anemia prevalence at first CBC. Baseline hemoglobin was strongly associated with anemia incidence. Only 2 of 105 girls who had initial hemoglobin of 13.0 or higher became anemic during follow-up. Of the girls who had hemoglobin between 11.5 and 12.4, there were 99 girls in that category, and 27 became anemic over time. So, in the study, we chose to collect data on mean corpuscular volume, that's MCV, and red blood cell distribution width, RDW, which can be useful in studying etiology of anemia. And etiology, per se, was not part of this study. We were just trying to find out if we could justify the annual hemoglobin screen. Race, ethnicity, baseline age, baseline MCV, and baseline RDW were not statistically associated with incident anemia. Now, limitations of this study include the fact that we wanted two hemoglobin values. And you could argue that this could skew the population, but you could argue either way. It could be that the girls who had two hemoglobins done were in regular care and they were at lower risk, or you could argue that maybe they had two or three hemoglobins done because the pediatricians thought they were at higher risk. So we really can't predict which way, that if that skews the data, we don't know which way it skews it. Philadelphia Healthcare Center patients are drawn almost entirely from high poverty, inner city families, and over 80% of these adolescents were African American. The findings may not be applicable to other populations. In conclusion, among this low-income, urban, predominantly African American adolescent female population receiving regular care at the Philadelphia Healthcare Centers, the baseline prevalence anemia was 13%. The annualized incidence of anemia in this population was 3.29%. These findings are conservative. Using a higher cutoff for anemia, less than 12 grams per deciliter, would give even higher rates of anemia, clearly justifying annual hemoglobin screening in this population. There are many more questions that could be answered in future studies, such as etiology of anemia and why is anemia more prevalent in this population. These results clearly support our annual hemoglobin screen in this low-income female, predominantly African-American population. The American Academy of Pediatrics Well-Child Guidelines-based anemia screening on an annual risk assessment. This study suggests that knowledge of your specific patient population needs is vital to determine who needs to be screened and what history questions need to be asked. I would like to acknowledge the pediatric and adolescent quality care team effort for this study. Dr. Brian Torcato did most of the literature search. Chronic disease epidemiologist Dr. Jessica Robbins helped with development of the audit tool, did data analysis, and did major work on grading our paper. The project had great support from Dr. Susan Robbins, Director of Pediatric Services for Philadelphia Department of Public Health. She and all the members of the Pediatric and Adolescent Quality Care Committee worked on chart audit and data collection. Thank you.